Thrilled to be back in Iowa, and I was honored to be asked to participate in this debate. So I know we're going to get underway introducing the first candidate.
And Judy, the first candidate who will speak with you this afternoon is Joni Ernst. Ms. Ernst is a state senator from Red Oak. She is also a lieutenant colonel in the Iowa National Guard.
Welcome, Senator Ernst.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you.
So let's get right to it. I want to start with an issue that's getting a lot of attention, and that is the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Absolutely.
You've made it very clear that you want to repeal the Affordable Care Act. But my question is, would you repeal the specific provisions that allow people, number one, to keep children under their coverage until they reach the age of 26, that prohibit insurance companies from discriminating against people with pre-existing conditions, and that give seniors more prescription drug benefits? Are those provisions you also want to see repealed?
Yes, Judy, yes. And I do want to repeal and replace Bruce Braley's Obamacare. That is very important that we do that. Obamacare is a job killer. We've seen that here in Iowa. It is a tax on the American people, and it's taking health care decisions out of the hands of our families and placing them in bureaucracies or in the hands of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. Now, those specific provisions, carrying a child on their parents' policy, many states did that before the implementation of Obamacare. So there's no reasons that the states can't continue to do that. Iowa is a state that did that.
But not all states.
So not all states, but that is something that a state can determine. As I said, here in Iowa, we were already in the process of doing that. Now, as far as pre-existing conditions, I do believe we have to have a conversation about that. So, absolutely. But I think
so
there were
that might not be repealed.
I think we have to repeal Obamacare in its entirety and replace it with those market-driven solutions. And a number of those we've talked about, allowing policies to be sold over state lines, allowing small businesses to self-insure. And of course, we need to really emphasize tort reform also.
All right, I want to move on and ask you a different question. Iowa has never elected a woman to the United States Senate, to the United States Congress, or as governor. Should voters take that into consideration in this vote for United States Senate in this primary?
No, I don't believe they should. I do believe that you should be voting for the best candidate, and absolutely I believe I'm the right candidate at the right time, regardless of gender. I think my service to my state and my nation, and as a lieutenant colonel and a commander in the Iowa Army National Guard, a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, I think that sets me apart from the other candidates, as well as my service to my state as a state senator. I am the only proven conservative in this race. People can see by my record that I am going to stand up for Iowans and do what's in their best interests.
I want to ask each one of you a question about, since you're all running, of course, for the Republican Party nomination, a question about something that is in the Republican state party platform.
Okay.
And the specific thing I want to ask you about is you have said you are opposed to same-sex marriage. The Republican platform calls for a federal constitutional amendment that would overturn your state law, would ban gay marriage, same-sex marriage, and would oppose civil unions. Do you agree with that provision?
I believe the state should be making the decision on whether there is same-sex marriage, but I have stood for traditional marriage here in the state as a state senator, and I do believe that's one man, one woman.
So you would not favor, as the platform does, a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage?
Correct. I do believe that is up to the states to make that decision.
All right, and I just want to circle back to something because it occurs to me that I cut you off in the first question about repealing the Affordable Care Act. There is also language in there that gives seniors more prescription drug benefits. What would you do about that part of the law?
And again, as we talk about Obamacare, there are free market alternatives to doing that. We can do that without making it a mandate. We have to approach this in a way that is common sense, and we have not done that with Obamacare right now. So I do believe we have to entirely repeal but replace it, taking some of those smart common sense moves and putting them in place, but it has to be done according to the free market.
And is there a tangible way you can think that would happen?
I think we're going to have to work on that together between Democrats and Republicans to find those solutions to the solutions to this issue with Obamacare, but again, repealing it and replacing it with alternatives.
All right, State Senator Joni Ernst.
Great, thank you,
Judy, so much. We look forward to continuing
the
conversation.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next candidate is Sam Clovis, who lives in Hinton, Iowa. Mr. Clovis is retired from the U.S. Air Force and is a tenured college professor and former radio talk show host.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Mr. Clovis. Let me start by asking you about, again, something that a lot of people are talking about, and that's the Second Amendment, gun rights. A number of states around the country now have passed laws to expand rights for gun owners in recent months, including permitting guns to be carried in churches, in bars, in schools, sporting events. Do you favor the right to carry a gun in all of these locations?
Absolutely. I've been endorsed by the Gun Owners of America. I've been a staunch Second Amendment defender. I think that a responsible person ought to have the right to keep and bear arms, and they ought to be able to do that anywhere they wish.
So is there any place that you think it is wrong or should be illegal to carry a gun? Any place?
I can't think of any.
Including on air transportation, on commercial airliners?
I think that's different because you're talking about a risk situation that's quite different in that the transportation is an area where you have a confined space, and an airplane is a very dangerous situation to have guns available there, because we've already seen in our history what has happened with people who have carried guns onto those airplanes and gotten away with that.
So no exceptions other than
I would say transportation is where you have confined people in a confined space where they cannot escape and they cannot defend themselves. That's the situation.
All right. I want to ask you about something you said a few weeks ago. You told an Iowa newspaper that one reason President Obama is avoiding impeachment is because he's not white. So my question to you is on what, and you went on to say that you didn't think he would be impeached, but you said others believe that. So my question is, on what grounds do you see the president being impeached? And what do you say to critics who say what you said was a racist comment?
Well, first off, that isn't what I said. And the racist aspect of this is really offensive to me because anyone that knows me knows that I don't have a one scintilla of racism in me. I think the issue that really is at issue here is if I'm a United States senator and ask in that context what would be the circumstances under which impeachment would proceed, there has to be the investigation, the due process. Those have to originate in the House of Representatives. If the masters are appointed and the case is brought then and has grounds and has brought to the United States Senate, then we, members of the United States Senate, would then sit there in judgment with the Chief Justice sitting and presiding over that proceeding. The issue of whether or not anything has been done to rise to the level of impeachment has to be investigated, and that has not taken place.
Do you think there are grounds to impeach the president?
I think the investigation would have to take place.
Have to take place?
Yes. I would
Why?
Say, no, I mean, it would have to take place before we could come to that determination. The issue for me is I don't think at this point in time that we've seen things that this president has done, and I mean, in my opinion, as a citizen, I would have to know more about the context and the backdrop of what he has done and what are the context of these things, because right now we don't have the evidence to support anything.
Do you think there should be that kind of an investigation?
I think any president who presents himself and makes statements where he talks about having a phone and a pen and obviating the Constitution and Article I, usurping the power of the legislature, I think is probably one that ought to have examinations thereof.
All right, I want to move on finally, Mr. Clovis, to a question about the Iowa State Republican Party platform.
Right.
It calls for eliminating a number of U.S. federal departments, agriculture, education, homeland security, housing, health and human services, energy, interior, labor, commerce, the Food and Drug Administration, and there are other agencies it would eliminate. My question is...
Well, essentially eliminating the government then, right?
So. Well, my question to you is, as a senator, what agencies would you part company with your own party on and say, no, we ought to keep these agencies?
I think that what was listed there, a lot of these agencies could be done away with, and one of them is the Department of Education. That's a place we should start. I think that the Department of Energy, the Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Interior could be combined. I think the Department of Health and Human Services could absorb Housing and Urban Development. There are a lot of these, and frankly, it's hard to figure out what the Department of Commerce does. So some of these, I think, would really have to come under close scrutiny. And if we're going to cut spending, this is an approach that we have to take. As my old preacher used to say, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants good fiscal responsibility, but nobody wants their program cut. Sooner or later, we're going to have to cut programs.
Department of Labor, would that stay or go?
I think the Department of Labor, I'm not quite sure what the purpose of the Department of Labor is.
Well, we will leave it there.
Yeah.
Mr. Clovis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The third candidate in this segment is Scott Chabon. Mr. Chabon works as a sales manager for an Ames auto dealership. He is a U.S. Navy veteran and a graduate of Iowa State University.
Mr. Chabon, welcome.
Thank you.
So my first question to you is, you have said that you do not favor the immigration bill that we know passed the United States Senate last year. It creates a pathway to citizenship for undocumented workers. As we know, there are around 11 million undocumented individuals in the United States right now. Would you, as a senator, favor rounding these people up and sending them back to their country of origin?
Before all of that gets addressed, you have to secure the borders. You have to address the problem. And the problem is people coming here illegally. The problem is not only our southern border, but also our northern border and our ports. You look in 96 and in 2004. Department of Homeland Security said, we're going to round up people, we're going to bring in these people that have overstayed their visas. Their own numbers, over a million of those people have overstayed their visas. Only 32% of them came here through land. The biggest thing is we have to stabilize the problem, and we have to stop the inflow of people coming here illegally.
And what about the 11 million who are here now?
That's something we can address once we secure our borders and once we secure our visa programs.
Should they be sent back to their country of origin? Is that what you would like to see happen?
No.
So you would let them stay?
We would address it afterwards, whether it is sending them back home, whether it's send them to the back of the line, whether it's create some sort of a visa program where, like I said, they start at the back of the line, pay a heavy fine, and then eventually work their way to citizenship over 10 to 20 years. That's all stuff that we can look at. But the biggest thing is, before looking at any of that, you're getting the cart before the horse.
Right.
We got to address the problem of people coming here. Once you stop that flow, and that's what I've said from day one, you've got to stop the flow.
But your goal would not be to send them back to where they came from.
No, we have to understand, and every situation is obviously different, but packing them up and rounding them up and sending them home does nobody any good.
You told a reporter last summer, Mr. Chabon, when you were about to announce that you were running for the Senate, that you stand out from other Iowa Republicans. You said, and I quote, I am not your far-right candidate. My question is, do you think the Republican Party of Iowa in general has moved too far to the right?
There's some aspects of it have. I walk into rooms and people say, are you the Tea Party candidate? Are you the evangelical? Are you the establishment person? I shrug my shoulders and I just identify myself as a Republican. When you look at the layout of the field here, you have a little over 600,000 Republicans, 600,000 Democrats, and 700,000 non-affiliated voters. How is the Republican Party going to expand if you can't recruit, if you can't have an appealing message to the 700,000 people in the middle?
What does too far right mean? What does far right mean to you? What does that mean?
To me, it means saying something as offensive just to get a headline. When you're talking about whether it is getting into race relations or immigration type issues, and for that or religious issues, when you look at what should be the Republican message, my message, I talk about balancing the budget, creating a path to solvency. I talk about Second Amendment, a 50-state concealed carry permit. I talk about veterans benefits. That's a winning message that the Democrats can't paint you into that same old mold of being the old rich white guy out of touch with society.
Do you think any of the other candidates in this race can be classified as far right?
I think you could.
Which ones?
you'd have to decide that on your own. I can't read
what
the
do you think?
I think yes.
And you, who?
You'd have to read the papers, and you can decide on your own.
All right, we'll continue this conversation later. My last question is about the Iowa State Republican Party platform. Among other things, it calls for dismantling Social Security and making it optional. Are you in favor of that? Would you vote for that?
Social Security is something that's going to have to be restructured, especially when you look at the mandatory spending of our federal government. You got $2.4 trillion, and that grows every year by law. 85% of the $2.4 trillion of mandatory spending is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. That is something that, and Social Security being the biggest part of it, something's going to have to be done with it. So whether you eventually revert to a universal payment system, double-decker system, means testing it, or privatizing it, something has to be done. So whether it's a complete repeal, there's going to have to be some sort of restructure of that, of Social Security.
Would it be optional, as the platform says?
That's one option for it. Like I said, I just rattled off four different things.
And what is your preference? What would you like to see?
Something that can sustain itself, because right now the current, what we have today does not sustain itself.
Do you have an opinion about what would sustain?
I'm sustaining myself by investing, by having my own investments, my own 401k, that sort of thing. I'm planning for Social Security not being around. Having something in place in the future is better than having nothing in place. However, myself, I'm hedging my bets for having nothing in place, and that's unfortunate, because there does need to be something out there for people.
Scott Chabon, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See you again in a minute. Thank you.
Next is Mark Jacobs. Mr. Jacobs is the former CEO of Reliant Energy, who now lives in West Des Moines. Welcome. He graduated from Des Moines Roosevelt High School.
Welcome, Mr. Jacobs.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So let's turn to foreign policy.
Sure.
Specifically, as a U.S. senator, and this is after 11 years of having American troops in Afghanistan, Iraq, would you vote to keep combat troops in Afghanistan after this year, if necessary? Or would you vote to send troops to stabilize a fracturing Iraq? It's a country we see having a great deal of difficulty with American troops out of there. We've just recently said we're sending in advisors. And finally, would you be willing to provide military weapons to Ukraine to use against Russia?
Well, I think, first and foremost, our foreign policy has been a very muddled mess, in my view. And, the question in terms of the I'll take your questions in reverse order, the Ukraine, I think we need to keep all options on the table. But I think, candidly, what we've seen here is that we've taken a leadership position from behind. And we step back and let the EU take a leadership role in bringing Ukraine in, and then lo and behold, at the 11th hour, there's a big crisis here. So I think one of the problems is that this administration has taken that backseat role in terms of leadership. I'm sorry, your second question was?
The second one was sending forces into Iraq again. In other words, we left Iraq after having been there a number of years, but
right.
Iraq is having a great deal of difficulty.
And I think both with Afghanistan and Iraq, I think one of the problems that we've had when we've gone into situations like that with combat troops, we've not had a clear plan of how to get out. I do not support the idea that we should be out trying to build democracies and governments in these other countries, and I think it's important if we have a mission, we go in, we accomplish that mission, and then we bring our troops back home.
And the same with Afghanistan.
Yes.
Keeping troops there. Next question. You have been very successful in business. You are a wealthy person. You've been spending a record amount of your own money in this campaign. It just so happens that most of the U.S. senators who serve today are multimillionaires. My question is it a problem that a small D Democrat, a democratically elected institution, is so disproportionately comprised of people who are so well off?
Well, I can only speak for myself. And when I ran Reliant Energy, I found I was the type of leader that found that leadership starts with listening. And the company had 38 power plants across the country. And I found I learned the most when I spent time in those power plants, speaking directly to the front line of the organization, the control room operators, the maintenance staff, the people who were doing the real work. And I wasn't one of these folks that came in and said, do this, do that. But I asked a lot of questions. And one of the questions I always asked is, what can I do to help you do your job better? And I found when I asked that, it was incredible how people would open up to me and tell me what they really believed. And it was one of the reasons that we were able to break down a lot of the bureaucracy and red tape. And I don't think politics is any different. At the end of the day, we all have different perspectives in life, and I found that truly effective leaders are the ones that are able to reach out and get that input from others.
So it doesn't trouble you that there are so many multimillionaires in the Senate?
Well, again, I think everybody comes from a different background. It is important that we have people of a wide variety of backgrounds in a body like the United States Senate so that you can get that range of perspectives. But again, at the end of the day, I think it comes more down to the person, and is that person able to effectively represent the constituents that have elected them?
Finally, a question about the Iowa State Republican Party platform. Among other things, it says they would abolish the IRS, repeal the 16th Amendment, which of course authorizes the income tax, eliminate capital gains and estate taxes. Which of that would you go along with?
Well, I don't think there's any question that our tax code today discourages new business investment, and I know that is having spent my career in the business world, and it also encourages companies to locate jobs and factories overseas, and I think that's wrong. There's a lot I like about the fair tax approach. That's something I'm continuing to look at from an intermediate and longer term standpoint.
This is a sales tax?
This is a national sales tax, right. Correct. But I think in the near term, what we ought to be doing is bringing down the marginal rates on job creating businesses. We have the highest marginal tax rates of any developed nation in the world, and I think we need to get rid of these special interest loopholes that we have today, and that's how we can finance bringing that rate down. But we need to create a tax structure that helps encourage new business and brings jobs back to our shores.
But it sounds like you wouldn't go so far as to eliminate the IRS, repeal the 16th Amendment, eliminate all capital gains and estate taxes,
I think that would be a big step for right now today. As I said, that's something I'm continuing to look at from a longer term perspective, but I think today what we ought to be doing is working with the code we have to simplify that and bring tax rates down. But I'm also very concerned about the abusive power that we have in the IRS and government today, that the IRS has been used to target political groups. And more recently here, Freedom of Information Act requests are also being targeted and being used in a political manner. And I think that is absolutely wrong, that we have a government that has grown so big and so abusive that it's being used for political purposes.
All right, we'll continue the conversation. Mr.
Thank
Jacobs,
you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the final candidate to speak with Judy Woodruff is Matt Whitaker. Mr. Whitaker is a former U.S. attorney. He graduated from the University of Iowa. Welcome. And was a member of the last Hawkeye Rose Bowl team.
Welcome,
Go
Mr.
Hawks.
Welcome, Mr. Whitaker. Well, the National Security Agency, something else we've been hearing a lot about. Would you vote to prohibit the NSA from listening in on phone calls made by U.S. citizens? And I ask you this because on the one hand, you have folks like Senator Rand Paul, who says absolutely this is the wrong thing to do. The NSA shouldn't be doing this. On the other hand, you have folks like Senator John McCain, who say, yes, this is absolutely within the purview of what the NSA has to do to protect us as citizens. Where do you come down?
Well, John McCain's wrong. And as a former U.S. attorney, I understand the Fourth Amendment, and I know that without a warrant approved by a court, we can't spy on our own people. U.S. citizens are protected by the Constitution, and there is nothing that Congress can do short of amending that Constitution to allow them to directly listen to phone calls. That's outrageous conduct, and I would side with Rand Paul. I think he's right. I think he understands our constitutional framework, and that is something, as a former U.S. attorney, I would go and fight for every day.
So no ifs, ands, or buts.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
All right. This is a question about the position you took on the Affordable Care Act. You initially told the Des Moines Register that the Affordable Care Act should be changed but not repealed, that there are good things, you said, and I'm quoting, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You did get some criticism for that, and now you are saying, at least this is my understanding, that the law completely needs to be repealed. Did you change your mind, or what happened?
Well, let me be clear, Judy. I have always been for repealing Obamacare because I see directly, as a small business owner, how it has affected my small business. I've received a letter from my insurance company asking me, do I want to pay the tax or should I pass it on to my employees? There was no doubt the tax would be paid under Obamacare, but it was a matter of who. So I have been consistent in calling for its repeal, and I believe that there are all sorts of ways to encourage free market and competition and price transparency within healthcare so that we can ensure that health care costs don't continue to spiral out of control.
So when you said we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, what were you referring to?
Well, I think there were a couple things that once we replace it, we would look at. And one of the things that we would do would be for children to stay on their parents' health care plans. I mean, that's,
you would. In other words, you disagree with Senator Ernst on that, because she was saying that's something states can decide.
It has very little impact in the cost of insurance, and it really expands coverage minimally. And so I could see that. I mean, we need to look at high-risk pools and folks that
pre-existing
conditions and those kind of things. But we need to pull Obamacare out by its roots and then start over and put in free market and competitive ideas into the system.
And how long would that take to do?
Because right now there
is no Republican proposal to do that.
Oh, I've seen plenty of Republican proposals. And the Republican proposals and what I've been talking about are things I know work. And as a small business owner, I've seen them work. Like expanding health savings accounts is a prime example of where this administration has continued to roll back HSAs. And we need to see an expansion of that, because it allows people to save with pre-tax dollars for future health care costs.
I meant a consensus Republican proposal.
Oh, well, if you want a consensus, you go to the Democrat Party where they do it top down. If you want to be a Republican, we believe in open primaries and share and talking about the ideas and coming up with the best idea.
All right. Let me ask you a question now about the Iowa State Republican Party platform, among other things.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to ask me about Iowa State University.
Another debate. It calls, among other things, for a personhood amendment to the United States Constitution that says life begins at conception, and it would outlaw all abortion. It goes on to say that all officials should be held accountable to enforce this. My question is, should women who have abortions in violation of this be considered criminals? Should they be prosecuted?
Well, a couple things. One is I have supported a personhood bill under the 14th Amendment, Section 5, which would define life as at conception. But I have already been outspoken that I don't think we should criminalize females.
So personhood amendment, outlaw all abortion, but no prosecution.
Of the women, yeah.
But of the doctors,
certainly,
yes.
Certainly.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Mr. Whitaker. We'll see you in a minute.
This concludes the first part of today's event featuring the five Republican candidates seeking their party's nomination for U.S. Senate.